And how he's amazed at how few pastors preach on the Holy Spirit today. And made me start to think in my own head and realize that I've never done a series on the Holy Spirit. I've probably never preached a message on it. So I'd probably fit into one of those categories of one of those pastors that haven't. And so I decided that when I finish the series on conquering Canaan, that we're going to spend some time looking at this third person of the Godhead. We talk about the Father, God the Father a lot. We talk about God the Son a lot. But we don't talk about the Holy Spirit in the same way, even though he is a part of that Godhead. So on Sunday evenings when I share God's Word, we're going to spend some time looking at the Holy Spirit. And what we need to do this evening is probably, I don't want to call it boring, but probably the least applying to our life. But we have to establish that he is a real person. Because there are lots of theories or perceptions of what the Holy Spirit is. Is it just, it's really God, but he's sort of working, God the Father, and it's sort of just his influence. So is the Holy Spirit just an influence or something like that? Or is it a real person? And we can't really stop and consider the work of the Holy Spirit until we understand that he is a person. Often we think, you know, if we think the Holy Spirit is just a power or an influence, our attitude is going to be, well, how can I get more of the Holy Spirit? We think of it maybe a little bit like coffee. I'm feeling tired today, so I need to get more of that caffeine into me to give me a boost. And so if it's just if he is just a power or influence, we need to get more of him into us. But if we stop and consider that he is actually a person, well, then it changes our outlook where we think, well, how can the Holy Spirit have more of me? You know, he's a person who wants me to submit to him, and he wants to have influence in my life. I was thinking how we can allow a lot of people have influences in our life. You can hang around people and they can have a bad influence in your life. Or you can hang around some people and they can have a good influence on your life. Well, the Holy Spirit is a person, and he can have a very life-changing influence on us if we allow it. And so that's what I want to do tonight, consider how he is actually a person. And after we look at this, and this will just be a rather broad thing tonight, then we'll look at specifics of how much of a blessing it is to have the Holy Spirit, that third person of the Godhead, with us and in us as well. What we're looking at is the personality of the Holy Spirit. We've got to see that he's a personality. And first of all, we see that there are characteristics of personality attributed to the Holy Spirit. What makes someone a person? All right. I had a little lovely teddy bear that brought me a lot of comfort when I was a child, but that doesn't mean it's a person. There are a number of things that make someone a person. That is, they have knowledge, they have emotions, they have feelings, they have a will. You know, these are integral to being a person. You don't need to have hands and feet and arms and eyes to be a person. They are attributes of having a body. But being a person, you have to have knowledge. There has to be feelings and emotions and a will where you can choose to do something. And we see that these are the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. He's a real person. Now let's have a look at some of these. And I have the PowerPoint mainly because there's a lot of scripture tonight. So sometimes it might be easy just to follow it along there. But we see that knowledge is attributed to the Holy Spirit. Let me read from there. It says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And so we're told here that the Holy Spirit knows the things of God. He has knowledge. The Holy Spirit isn't just an influence that illuminates us and enables us to comprehend the things of God. He knows all about God, since He's the third person of the Godhead, and He shows it to us. And so He has knowledge. He has a will as well. 1 Corinthians 12:8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that has chosen what spiritual gifts to give us. He has a will and a purpose for us, and He's going to give us the gifts that we need to enable us to be able to do it. Some people think of the Holy Spirit where I have a desire to do this, and so I need to get the power of the Holy Spirit to enable me to do it. But the reality is, it's the other in reverse order. The Holy Spirit has a will for us. He gives us the gifts, and if we're willing to submit to Him and do what He wants, He will empower us to do it. Sometimes we think of the Holy Spirit as the battery to enable us to fulfill the plans that we have. If only I can get hold of the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill my plans, everything will work out right. But we have to accept that He's the one that has a will. He's a person. Also, He has a mind. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know, the Greek word mind is a comprehensive word. It includes ideas and thoughts and feelings and purpose. Got a sad baby out there. The Holy Spirit thinks about us. Isn't it good that He actually thinks about us, and He has desires for us, and He seeks to make intercession for us because of that. He also has grief. You know, my lovely little teddy bear never got sad, regardless of what I did, even when I chopped him up with my brand new pocket knife and I wanted to see what was inside. There was no grief, despite the amount of comfort He gave me. But the Holy Spirit grieves. A person grieves. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. If there is any action within us that is selfish or unkind or thoughtless of some sort, it affects the Holy Spirit of God. And that, when we stop and consider that He is a person who dwells within us and He suffers grief because of our actions, that should make us stop and truly consider what we're doing. You know, there's a lot of people who may be tempted to do something or act or go somewhere, but due to their love for their mother, they're afraid their mother may find out, and they certainly don't want to upset their mother, so they choose not to do it. You hear that many a times. I know, even as a young man myself, there were things that I probably would have done, but if my mum found out, I just wouldn't want to hurt her. And I do know that when she did find out things I had done, it was her grief and sorrow, the sorrow that I caused her, that probably caused the most pain for me, seeing mum so sad because of what she found out I had been doing. But there is one that dwells within us that has far greater grief over sin than any mother. Someone who is more sensitive to sin than the purest woman. Someone who loves us more than any mother has ever loved a child. Someone who dwells within our heart and sees what we do regardless if it's in the day or the night, hears what we say regardless if it's in a group of people or by ourselves. And if there's anything unholy, we know he's grieved. And one, if we would allow those words, "and grieve not the Holy Spirit," to sink into our heart and seriously consider that we are hurting and grieving a real person when we sin, I dare say that would help us a lot more in those times of temptation. We can grieve him. Also, when we look at the Old Testament, there's not as much that speaks about the Holy Spirit. There's probably more than this, but we do know that it says there in Nehemiah 9:20, "Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct us, instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water to their thirst." And so we see here that he is good. Now that's a message in itself. We have a good spirit, and he is someone who instructs us as well. And so, personality, there are personality traits about the Holy Spirit. But there's also acts of the Holy Spirit that only a person could or would perform. You know, if the Holy Spirit was like gravity, or where it's just a force, but it's not a person, or if it's like the wind, he's like the wind where he's something there, but he's not actually a real person as well. There are many things that we're told about the Holy Spirit that wouldn't make sense. You know, we couldn't apply it to anything else but a real person. You see, we read here, the Holy Spirit searches things out, right? The wind doesn't search things out, want to know things. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:10, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." The Holy Spirit searches things out, and then he shows them to us. Also, we see that he prays. Romans 8:26, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." It's very plain in the Scripture that the Holy Spirit isn't just some sort of influence that moves us to pray, but he actually prays for us. And that's a comforting thing, that we have two divine persons who pray on our behalf. We do know that God the Son prays on our behalf, that he knows, he's been tempted like we have, he's been touched with the feelings of our infirmity, he is ascended at the right hand of the throne of God, and he is there making intercession for us this very moment. Praise God for the Son who does that for us. But we learn here that there's another person, just as divine, but he dwells within us. And he knows our feelings at every moment. And there are times when we don't even know what we should be praying, or we don't even know quite how we feel, but the Spirit of God makes intercession. There's a person there praying for us that comes from within. Only people can do that. The Holy Spirit teaches. 1 John 14:26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." John 16:12, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, and he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." And in the Old Testament, as we saw there, that thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct us. And so in these passages, it makes it very clear that he is our teacher. This person is our teacher. You know, we have a inbuilt teacher who goes around with us everywhere. The Spirit of God who dwells within, he will guide us and lead us and teach us if we seek him and ask him to. He's also a leader and guide. Oh, didn't I put that up? Sorry. The Holy Spirit is the leader and guide of the children of God. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He leads. He's the children of God. We have someone that's going to help us in our paths. The Holy Spirit calls men to do his work as well. It says there in Acts 13:2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And in chapter 20, verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. You know, the Holy Spirit has plans. He had plans and he wanted to use Barnabas and Saul to fulfill those plans. And so he called them to do that work. He has plans for us as well. You know, he has a mind and he has an understanding of what he wants to see take place in this world. And then he calls and gifts and uses people to do it. You know, sometimes we might think the wind has a mind of its own, the way it changes and does things. Or people, you know, sailors may say that the sea has a mind of its own. Well, it doesn't really have a mind. But the Holy Spirit does. And he has plans and he wants to use us. He has authority as well. The Holy Spirit has authority to command men in their service. It says in Acts 6 and 7, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. See how, I guess when I sort of noticed these verses and the work of the Holy Spirit, it made me realize how heavily involved the Spirit of God is in God's work. We often think about the Father and how what he's work and Christ and how he's working in the church, but you can forget that the Spirit is just as heavily at work in the ministry. And he's the one who said, look, said to Paul, I don't want you to go up there, I forbid you, but I want you to go down here, and so on. He's the one that's dealing with all of these things. Now, we also know that the Holy Spirit comforts. And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You know, the Lord Jesus told his disciples that he's going to have to depart and leave them. And we know that sorrow filled the disciples' heart when they realized that they were no longer going to have the guidance and the comfort that the Lord Jesus brought them. But to encourage them, the Lord tells them that he needs to go away, so that he can then ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit, another comforter. And it's very important to note the Greek word that the Lord Jesus uses here when he says another comforter. There are a number of words that mean another, and I'm not going to go too deep into it, but this word, allos, means another of the same kind. And that's very significant. You use this word when you were referring to something that has the same character and the same makeup as what you're comparing it to. You see, if Jesus was going to go to heaven and send us a teddy bear to comfort us, He couldn't use this word because they're not of the same character and makeup. A teddy bear is very different to God the Son. All right? So that would be a very sad substitute for the Comforter in the Lord Jesus Christ. If Jesus was going to send an angel, he couldn't use this word either, because an angel is vastly different when it comes to character and makeup than God the Son. And so as good as what people always love, you know, people love thinking about how we got our own guardian angel. You know, oh, isn't it great? You know, I don't know if it's true or not, but people get excited about that. I have a guardian angel right next to me, caring for me. Well, you can have your guardian angel. I want the Holy Spirit of God, because Jesus says, I'm going to give you another comforter, one that is another of the same kind as me. Now, that's deity, and that has everything that Jesus had, and that's who we want. Don't get excited if someone tells you you've got a guardian angel. Get excited that you have the person of the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And that's what Jesus said. Well, that's who Jesus said he would send. You see, when the disciples were there, they had Jesus by their side to guide them, comfort them, teach them, and explain things. And so Jesus said, I'm going to send someone just like me, but he's going to live in you this time. And the good thing is, we can enjoy that same sort of fellowship that the disciples enjoyed with Jesus as we do with this Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He has been sent to comfort us. So there are various actions that the Holy Spirit, we learn, do that only a person does. Now there's also, there are actions directed toward the Holy Spirit that can only be directed towards a person and have any relevance. Let me show you. We've already looked at one. The Holy Spirit can be grieved in that our actions affect Him. He not only has that ability to suffer grief because He's a person, actions can affect Him. And so the Holy Spirit isn't there just going about His business and, yes, okay, if you don't do it, doesn't matter. He continues on. He's just above all that. He's not affected by anything we do. No, He actually gets grieved. I have the capacity to leave here tonight and grieve God the Holy Spirit who dwells within me. And so that's pretty serious when you think of it like that. I can grieve Him by my actions. Also, the Holy Spirit can be insulted. Have you ever been insulted by someone? You know, this is where you change. You know, we've got a little bird, little Luigi, and he sits there. You know, I could say anything to Luigi, but he never gets insulted by what I say to him, all right? Even if I don't get him out of the... I walk past his cage, I'm sure he's not thinking, oh, he didn't even say hello to me. But I guarantee we think like that sometimes. We get insulted by what people do. That's a part of being a person. And we read in Hebrews 10:29, and how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite. Now that's just the old English word to mean insulted the Spirit of grace. All right? People can insult the Holy Spirit. We can insult Him. Also, He can be lied to. Now, I'm thinking a little Luigi. I can lie to him, I guess, but I don't think he takes any offense to it. All right? But a person, when they are lied to, get hurt by that. But we know in Acts 5:13, and Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price? And so the Holy Spirit takes offense to being lied to. And so These are actions that we can do towards the Holy Spirit that affect Him, which shows that He's a person as well. And so there are various reasons why we can be very confident that He is truly a person. He has the personality, the attributes of a personality. He acts in a way that shows that He's a person, and He receives acts towards Him that shows that He's a person. And I would dare say that none of us would stand and say, well, I find it very hard to believe that He's a person. We all would say, yes, I believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Question I'd like to ask you is, though, you may say that you believe that, but does your life show that you believe that He is truly a person? The way that you act, does it show that you realize that He's a person you are grieving? Would you act the same towards your friends or your family? Would you insult Him like you insult others? You know, are you acting like He is a real person? You know, I can remember, it would have been about 25 years ago. My brother said, there's a fellow that I want to go and meet over in a shopping centre, over in somewhere in Sydney. And so I'd never met him before. So we went over there, and there was this fella, and he was doing his artwork, and seemed a bit deaf. And we went up, and we finally got his attention, and we introduced ourselves, and he said, oh yeah, the Holy Spirit was just encouraging me to be faithful in what I'm doing. And I'm thinking, this is the first time I met him, and I'm thinking, wow, is he some sort of crazy charismatic guy? You know, the Holy Spirit's talking to him like that? Well, I knew that wasn't the case later on. But I also thought, wow, I've never really felt the Holy Spirit talking to me like that. And then I started to think, wow, he must be really close to the Lord, that he has that sort of relationship with the Comforter that God said would be there with him. And of course I'm talking about Mike Coghlan, and I can understand why he wants people to teach on the Holy Spirit. I'm sure he's enjoyed that comfort and guidance and help over the years. And I can't say that I could say I know exactly how he feels now. But I do know over the course of those 25 years, I have experienced that comfort and guidance of the Holy Spirit far more than I did when I was, however old I was, about 20 or 21 or something. And so he's a person, not just a force. He's a person who the Lord Jesus sent to be our teacher and guide and comforter. And we're going to learn more about him on Sunday nights. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that, Lord, you didn't leave us without any help in this earth. And that, Lord, we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. Lord, there's so much we don't know about him. I pray that as we consider him over these weeks and months on a Sunday night, that, Lord, our knowledge of him will grow, and so with our love. And I pray this in Jesus' name.